You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to apply. All right, so I have Chris Steiner on the line, and he's a senior executive of account services at Media Culture. Chris, welcome to the show.
Adam, thanks for having me. Nice to meet you.
All right, Chris. So excited to get into today's topic. So we'll talk about really how TV advertising and connected TV can help people amplify their brands. But before we get into that topic, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all with our Mission Matters Minute. So Chris, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Chris, what mission matters to you?
Yes. So my mission at Media Culture is to create spaces where my coworkers and the clients that I have the privilege to work with can thrive and achieve things well beyond the goals that they've set for themselves. I do this by being very present, providing nimble, flexible support in a friendly and diplomatic demeanor. I've noticed, you know, as I've kind of meandered down my career path, a lot of the problems and solutions and strategies that I work with clients on quickly became associated with kind of my life as a whole. I've found that when I can identify things in regular life and call them out in moments when I'm engaging with clients and colleagues, it really kind of removes a lot of the barriers. Everybody kind of settles in and starts to do their best, most meaningful work. And so that's one of the, you know, main goals that I have. And one of my missions is to just be here, supportive, and allow everybody to, to comfortably, blow past anything they thought they were going to be able to do, and just really, support them in every way possible.
It's awesome. And again, great to have you on the show. I'm excited to get some of your unique insight into what really goes on in the world of TV advertising and now connected TV and like what's happening in that trend. But I think before we get to that, let's go a little bit further back in time. Like, how did this all start for you? When did you get into the world of TV and TV advertising?
Sure. Yeah, it was about 25 years ago. I was a media buyer right out of college at a small direct response media shop here in Austin, Texas, where I live. We bought and sold TV time for a variety of traditional DRTV type clients. So think of 1-800 type clients. We were doing a lot of activity in that space. From there, I had a colleague that went to work for another agency. She gave me a call and said there was a role that opened up. It sounded enticing. So I took it and it was at Media Culture. At the time, we were called Coppel Direct. And I've been here for the last 20 or so years. So it's been a good run. I've done quite a bit at Media Culture. Started as a media buyer, worked my way through just about every department at this point. And happily settled in account service, working with clients. And it's been good.
Man, it's awesome. And I like to set the stage like that because you are truly an industry vet. And even though you're, you've been in the business for a really long time. And so you've seen, like, you know, if you can maybe take us back to those earlier days as we work our way forward, what was it like in the early days of media buying, maybe compared to some of the things that you see today?
Yeah, definitely in the early days for me, I was learning from another group of industry vets at that point. These guys, you know, were coming through from the 80s and into the 90s buying media, you know, in very traditional ways. And so I learned from them, some of the more traditional media channels like TV or print or outdoor. Obviously since then, a lot has changed, right? We're still actively buying all of those channels, but, you know, these days, obviously digital is where everything starts for most brands. And so we've been doing more and more of that as, you know, as the years have kind of rolled forward. But I do appreciate and I do reminisce about my early days. You know, it was a really good environment to be in, to be able to learn from all of those people. The exposure was great. The level of negotiation that they were doing, the skill set that they had to, you know, there was a lot of phone activity. You know, this was pre-internet days for most of them, pre-email. So, you know, a lot of that really kind of built the groundwork for what I've done throughout my career. So I'm really happy to have been able to start where I started and then just kind of grow from there.
And so as we kind of to frame the conversation, maybe let's kind of juxtapose or compare and just define, you know, traditional maybe TV advertising versus connected TV, because I have a bunch of questions for you on both, actually. But maybe let's start with just kind of defining the two.
Sure. Yeah. You know, traditional TV is, you know, what we all kind of grew up with, you know, just turning the TV on, watching your shows. The way we buy that media is fairly straightforward. You know, we negotiate and have contacts with all the TV stations, and we put contracts in for our clients, and we buy slots in particular shows or particular day parts. And then we manage and monitor how that performs. Connected TV is similar in the way you're consuming it, right? You're sitting on your couch, still watching big screen environment TV, but you're watching it through channels that are streaming. They're coming over the top, and they're coming in through all of the different digital streaming platforms that we're all familiar with at this point. You know, Netflix, obviously the big one in the space, they're actually going to start running ads later in November for the first time. So that's going to be a huge change for the industry. But, you know, all the others fall in line there, the Hulus, the Paramount Pluses, so on and so forth. So you're consuming it in the same way, but the way you buy it is significantly different. You buy it in the same vein that you buy other digital forms of advertising, right? You're targeting an audience, not necessarily the program, right? So with linear TV, you're looking for an audience and you target them by proxy based on the show that you buy into. You're assuming, oh, I bought into The Price is Right, so I'm going to get the audience that I think watches The Price is Right. But with connected TV, you know that the individual you want to target, and you're going to target them regardless of what they're watching. So they could be watching The Price is Right or 2020. It doesn't really matter. And so I think targeting, I think, is the biggest difference between the two. Beyond that, there are definitely differences in terms of how you manage them, the clearance, how you measure the performance. But first and foremost, yeah, the way you purchase it, how you purchase it, the channels you go through to buy it are significantly different.
And so also is the inventory, the way that that's managed, different as well. So, for example, and if I'm off, please let me know, because I'm learning as well. Mm-hmm. So using your example, you know, The Price is Right, there's only so many spots that are going to really show during that time, versus if you're on connected TV, is that a different kind of model for how the inventory is managed?
Good question. Yeah, it is. To your point, there is a finite amount of slots on the linear space for a particular show or particular station. And in the CTV space, there are a finite amount of impressions, right? There's only so many people watching so much content. But given that you're being very specific with your targeting, you can usually find that person regardless of what they're watching, because you're being very particular about where you're placing those impressions. I think that one of the differences in terms of the pricing, the way it's set up, with traditional TV, you negotiate a rate, that's the rate you pay, and you run your spot. With CTV, there's a bit more of a bidding system in place, right? So as the market, you know, kind of tightens up, your bids might need to increase. Otherwise, you're going to lose some visibility and lose some of the reach and some of the impressions that you're hoping to gain. So there is a little bit of difference in managing the buys in terms of connected TV and linear TV in terms of, yeah, availability, pricing, and, you know, what you can get depending on the market conditions.
And so for like maybe some of the business owners and the executives that have experience with linear TV or traditional TV, and they may have used maybe Facebook ads or something else. So is the connected TV model in terms of purchasing, is it similar to like a Facebook kind of ad model in terms of bidding and otherwise? Because I only bring that up to try to draw a comparison if there is a similarity. Sure.
Yeah, it definitely is similar for sure. It is a similar bidding type of structure. I think beyond that, that there are quite a few differences because with the audiences in CTV, you can get, you know, pretty finite, maybe not as finite as what you can get in the social space, but pretty close. And you can also pull different levers in the CTV space that wouldn't apply to Facebook, right? So you can say, hey, I only want to run on Hulu, for example, or I only want to run on Paramount Plus or the Discovery Networks while targeting this type of person. So there are some other layers that you can put in that you don't get necessarily in some of the other digital channels, but from a high level, it is very similar.
Yeah, that's great. And so the targeting, maybe like, you know, take us through maybe an example. It could be fictitious or otherwise, but I'm trying to get some of the business owners that have watched and maybe have been, you know, not explore TV at all to understand that I believe, and correct me if I'm off now, I think that like some of these advances have, and that's why I kind of wanted to make the comparison. I think still traditional TV amazing and has its market. So I'm not arguing one versus the other, but it seems to me, and correct me if I'm off, but it seems to me now, like with this connected TV model and things like obviously more inventory, because like Netflix is opening up and just all these other platforms are opening up for the business owners, for the executives out there, or people that are in control of brands, there's just a lot more opportunity. Am I off on this?
No, you're correct. There is. I think, you know, I was last week, I was actually at Ad Week in New York on a panel, and we were talking about the synergies between connected TV and linear TV, right? Mm-hmm. And one of the questions that came up, you know, kind of a raise your hand kind of engagement, you know, 3 years from now, do you think that the CTV space is going to overtake the linear space in terms of availability and impressions, right? And the panel was split down the middle, right? So we nobody has the crystal ball. You know, but I think everybody, you know, clearly, you know, has an opinion on it, but nobody really knows for sure. Either way, you know, we've seen it rapidly expand in the last few years, obviously, with a lot of people working from home, going to school from home. It's brought a lot more consumption of media all throughout the day. And so, you know, it has definitely increased. I think it will continue to increase. And I think really the way to look at the two is really to look at how combining the two is really important for a brand, right? Some brands, you know, grow up in the digital space, right? So they're very familiar with Facebook, with paid search, all of that. So they can see CTV as a natural extension of what they're doing now, but they look at linear TV and it's a little antiquated. It's a little rigid. It's a little unfamiliar. So they kind of shy away from that. And then there's other brands that have grown up with traditional TV as a part of their marketing mix for a very long time. They've seen that it works for their brand. It amplifies it. It gives it good reach, good frequency, good share of voice. They don't quite, you know, completely take the CTV component yet. It's a little too digital. It's a little bit too much like a black box. You know, they don't quite know where those impressions are coming from, what programming they're in. And so they haven't quite, you know, taken the big step into it, but really when you can combine the two, and take as much from linear as you can get, amplify that with the really, really good targeting of a CTV campaign. That's really where you can see the best performance overall, regardless of your KPI, whether it's ROI, share of voice, reach and frequency. It's the combination of the two that I think, you know, most brands need to, you know, wholeheartedly accept whenever they go beyond the digital sphere and start to look at video as a whole as something they want to use to really expand the reach of their brand and find, you know, new consumers, new customers.
Yeah. When I heard about the Netflix thing, I immediately thought of you, for one, because you're the only person I know in the space. But for two, I knew we had this interview coming up and I'm like, what's happening new? Like, what's current event? Like, what can I bring up during the interview, obviously? Yeah. So what's your, I mean, from your vantage point, you know, 20 plus year vet, like what's your opinion on this move? Like, good thing, bad thing? Like, and you can take it from the industry side of things, by the way, as well. Like, just in general, there's a lot going on with Netflix right now.
Yes. I think, you know, Netflix swore up and down they were never going to sell ads. It was never going to be a part of their business. You know, that was something they started with in the beginning. I think they've realized at this point it's essential if they're going to continue to compete, right? Because they've they've been losing some share of voice themselves, you know. So they're going to have this platform. Obviously, it's going to be extremely premium. The numbers I've seen for the CPMs out of the gate are going to be, they're going to scare away most people at first, right? Yeah. But again, you're going to have the most premium audience in that CTV space. Mm-hmm. I think we saw that similar with Hulu back in the beginning of everything. Hulu was kind of the premium at that point, and Hulu, you know, over time, like most, you know, the pricing has come down and it's been more in line with everybody else. And now you can enter that platform at a reasonable level. I think that will happen with Netflix over time as well. But I think there will be some sticker shock at first for most who are curious about it. But I think it's essential for them to continue to compete and be in the space they're in. You know, they're going to have an ad supported platform. Otherwise, they're just going to continue to lose viewership, and it's going to be harder for them.
Well, I guess the big win, I feel like, in general, whether you're watching, you know, Netflix, Hulu, anything else like that, it's just a matter of, like, to me, a certain portion of that gets reinvested into the content, right? So we should expect bigger budget or better stories or other things like over time. So to me, I'm a fan of it from the standpoint of I think we're going to get some better content from it.
That's a good way to look at it. Yeah, because Netflix in the beginning was, you know, content was king. Everybody was in love with everything they were putting out, you know, and I think there still is quite a bit of that, but maybe they've taken their foot off the gas a little bit, you know, and this is going to allow them to kind of get back to that, you know, and provide, you know, more top tier premium content more consistently. You know, I know obviously when we came out of, you know, the last few years, everything kind of slowed down for a little bit and things have started to pick up, you know, since then. But I think with them having this revenue model, you know, interjecting into their business, it's going to only allow for more really good content. So, yeah, I agree with you.
I want to jump around here a bit. So I want to spend some time talking about media culture. I know you mentioned that you've been there since, you know, the early days. But tell us a little bit further. So tell us more about the company and exactly what you do.
Sure. Yeah. So we're a media buying agency. We buy all forms of media, not just TV and CTV. We have a full digital department. We buy out of home, print, you know, we even do some guerrilla marketing. We do a little bit of everything. We don't specialize in certain verticals. We're very flexible, just depending on the market. You know, we work in a lot of different spaces, online dating, debt relief, transportation, entertainment. We've done some movie promotions, law firms, drive to app, consumer packaged goods, you name it. We're kind of all over the place, just depending on, you know, who's coming to us with their needs. We've shifted as the years have gone by. Back in 2008, there was a big change in the market with the recession, right? So there was a pullback from a lot of advertisers who were spending a lot prior to that year. But there was a new group of advertisers coming in, people like law firms, you know, and debt relief and, you know, other types of lead generation campaigns that came to the forefront. So we got a lot more exposure into those verticals. Something similar happened during the pandemic, of course. We had a big surge, you know, I mentioned online dating, that was really pinnacle for that time period. You know, a lot of people were at home, bored, alone. And so that vertical really started to surge, you know, as well as at home learning. We have a client that has a subscription series once a month. You get a box in the mail for your child and it's learning tools and things like that. And that was really, really paramount for all those parents at home, frustrated, trying to figure out how to, you know, engage their kids who are in elementary school and, you know, having to teach them. So there was a shift, you know, and so with those shifts over the years, you know, we've grown and been able to handle, you know, a variety of different, you know, types of clients. But going back to the mix, yeah, I think we were born in this TV space way back when in the late 90s, but we've graduated through every sort of, you know, channel at this point. Most of the campaigns we run are multi-channel, you know, across all forums. And we have, you know, a very, very robust analytics team at this stage. You know, analytics and attribution is probably the most important thing that we offer clients at this point. So we've invested a lot in that space, and it's key for helping guide the clients we work with, showing them confidently, you know, what their marketing is doing for them and, you know, how the channel mix should be and things of that nature.
And so I wanna take the stance of, you know, a business owner right now looking into different ways to advertise, and especially for some of these companies that were born in, let's just say, digital, where they've only done things around Facebook or other things. They have big budgets over there, but they've never really maybe considered like reallocating some of that budget to traditional things, whether, like you said, you know, outdoor, print, or also for that matter, connected TV or traditional advertising. Like, what are some of the things as a company, you know, matures and as they start running out and maybe they're starting to maximize things in other areas and they're looking for new ways? Like, how should one kind of approach some of these other markets if they don't have much experience going into it? Like, what are some things they should be asking themselves?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. I think most of the questions we get from brands like that, they've kind of reached the ceiling in the digital space, right? They've, you know, there's nothing else they can get out of that. So they start to consider TV in some form or fashion, right? And they look at CTV as an extension of digital. Maybe they can try to buy that themselves, or maybe they find an agency to help them. But it's rather expensive from a CPM perspective. So it's, you know, it scares them off a little bit. You know, it can be, you know, 5 to 10 times more than what you're getting in the paid social space. So it becomes a very hard pill to swallow, and the math is just not in their favor out of the gate. I think, you know, the power of TV as a whole, again, is looking at combining CTV and linear TV. If you can find an agency or a partner that's fluent in both, linear TV can provide, you know, very aggressive, low CPMs, right? CPMs that are comparable to what you're getting in the digital space, if it's bought, you know, properly. So if you can meld that together with the higher priced CTV impressions, but that are very well targeted, all of a sudden the CPM looks very, very attractive. And it looks like something that you definitely can gauge in and make it work for your brand. I think, you know, the next step after that is understanding the performance and how to measure that, particularly from the linear side of things, because that, you know, measurement is key for understanding something like linear TV is going to impact all of your digital channels, right? When you run on linear TV or CTV for that matter, you're going to see a surge in paid search and potentially paid social, right? So you have to be able to understand the halo effect and how that's impacting your digital channels, so you can manage those budgets appropriately. But I would, you know, I tell people when I'm, you know, talking to new clients, you know, look at the two as a combination. You're getting very, very top funnel efficient impressions with linear, and very, very hyper targeted, highly converting, lower funnel impressions with CTV. The combined reach of the two is going to be significant compared to what you've been getting in the paid social and paid search space. So just make sure you're doing it smart, efficient, and well-targeted, and agree on the measurement up front. You know, there are a multitude of ways to measure your media when you introduce linear, whether it's a multi-mix modeling, you know, type of thing, or, you know, there's just a variety of ways. So you want to make sure, you know, that whoever you're working with can engage you, lead you down the path, and kind of educate you along the way of this is what you should do, this is what to expect, and build out the appropriate model so that everybody can, you know, be engaged throughout the whole process.
And so I want to take the kind of the other side of this. And let's say that there is a, you know, more experienced business that's worked with an agency or agencies in the past. But I don't want to assume here, because a lot of times I've found, and you know, that what happens, whether it's a marketing company, doesn't have to be advertising anything, is sometimes, you know, you're working with somebody or with an agency or in whatever the field is, and you think that, you know, this is as good as it gets, but sometimes there's different questions that you don't even know to ask. So if somebody's thinking about or kind of going through their yearly, we do it here as a business owner, they're reevaluating like their relationships in general, and they're thinking like, what are some of the things I should be looking at to make sure I'm getting the most value, or I'm working with the right team or partner? What are some questions that you would be asking yourself in terms of evaluating whether or not you're in a current correct agency partnership, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, it does. And that's a good question, because we get asked those questions from our clients quite often. So, yeah, I think, you know, the advertising world is moving so fast, just like every other industry, obviously, but there's just constantly new things coming up to consider, right? So first and foremost, I would always look to your partners to make sure they are serving these things up to you. And even if they're not considering them, they should be educating you on what they are and why you should or should not consider them as a part of your media mix. Mm-hmm. We're constantly recalibrating the mix of what we're running for clients, right? Because of the new channels that are coming and because of the market in, let's say, linear TV and how it's, you know, evolving, we have to, you know, based on that, we have to reevaluate what we're doing in every other channel. And so I would say, if you're not getting that level of engagement on a consistent basis, then you should definitely consider, you know, looking around to see what options are out there, because you know, the days of set it and forget it are long gone at this point with your marketing mix. You have to consistently be in there tweaking, recalibrating, adjusting the mix, testing, trying, whatever it may be. You know, for the clients I work with, if we're not testing at least one thing every month, then, you know, we're a little slow to the gate with everything. So there should always be a healthy amount of exploring. And then beyond that, I think, you know, again, most of the conversations I'm having are centered around measurement and how to measure and how confident the measurement is. And that also is an evolving type of, you know, portion of the business, because there are new tools, there are new ways to consider measuring depending on your mix. So as you're making those adjustments to your strategy, how does that change your strategy with how you're measuring your channels, right? Mm-hmm. And so those to me are the big things that I would, you know, always be on the lookout for as somebody managing a brand, is making sure you're getting a lot of engagement in those areas.
Any campaigns stick out for you, like to you, for businesses, but it could be things that you manage internally, it could be externally. I'm just curious from your vantage. Anything stick out to you lately?
Yeah, you know, nothing top of mind. You know, what we do in the online dating space has always, you know, held a place close in my heart, I think, because we've done so much for so long and we've seen that space change. You know, we've been involved in that space for 10 plus years, you know, and there's just been a lot of change throughout that time. So I definitely, you know, enjoy working with those types of clients. Recently, I have a client that I'm engaged with right now that's really, really enthusiastic about what they're doing, and it's contagious. You know, when you're working with somebody who's so excited, it's really, really fuels you, you know? And so anytime I get a chance to work with an individual or a group like that, it really helps me take our team to another level, you know? And so we have one right now that's just, they're just a joy to work with, because they're constantly, you know, just throwing curveballs at us, but we're all really, really tight. And they're really just, again, enthusiastic about their brand and what they're doing. So yeah, that's the kind of stuff that I live to work for, is engaging people like that.
Awesome. Well, Chris, I just have to say it has been great having you on the show today. I enjoy learning more about what you're doing over at Media Culture, and obviously the masterclass you did today on advertising, whether it was TV advertising, connected TV, where we're heading in the industry overall. Love the Netflix commentary. I mean, a whole lot you packed into this interview, so I appreciate it. Yeah. With that being said, I have to ask, I know you got a lot going on. What's next? What's next for you? What's next for Media Culture?
Yeah, I think for Media Culture, it's, you know, to continue to monitor this video space, you know, what's going to be happening with CTV as it grows. You know, I think more and more brands are going to be putting more money into it. And I think we just want to stay in front of that to make sure we can help them navigate that space. You know, one of the biggest hurdles that we've had is not having visibility into that space. So being able to provide more visibility into the programs, into the channels, I think is what's next for CTV in particular. And it's what's next for, you know, our video team as a whole. Beyond that, yeah, just looking forward to 2023 and, you know, hoping to have another great normal year, you know, new clients, old clients, everything in between, and just, you know, excited about the future.
Awesome. Well, if somebody is listening to this, Chris, and they want to follow up and connect and learn more, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, I would say just reach out to myself or anyone at the Media Culture team. You know, we're helping established brands, again, kind of look at their marketing mix, making sure that it's, you know, correct for them where they're at today, making sure that the returns they're getting are in line with their goals, whether it's reach and frequency, ROI, share of voice, you know. We also love helping up and coming brands take that first step into TV, you know. So anybody who's looking to know more about TV and CTV, definitely reach out. We can help you guys. We can break down some of those barriers so it's not as daunting as it looks. And I would say, yeah, just reach out and we'll have some conversations.
Awesome. And we'll be sure to put that information, contact info in the show notes so that people can connect and follow up. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time listening to a Mission Matters episode or connecting with the platform, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, and executives and having them share their story, their mission, the reason behind why they do what they're doing. And if that sounds fun or interesting or exciting to you, hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Chris, again, really has been a pleasure. Thanks again for coming on the show.
You're welcome, Adam. Thanks for having me.